every 9 o'clock sharp. We'll get to Mazal Tov and a new granddaughter as well. Yeah. Sefer Mitzvot number 182, Ari Miklat. Hope everything is all well.
Okay. We're back trying to do things in order. And
Tuesday, 9 o'clock.
Come up later. What was last week?
It was 181.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. It was Egla Arufa. It was Egla Arufa. And already you see, like, if I asked you without knowing anything, why would the Rambam put Ir Miklat? Everybody know what an Ir Miklat is? Ir Miklat is when you kill somebody b'shogeg, you're an accidental murderer, you run away and hide in the Ir Miklat, a sanctuary city where you can't be killed by the family members.
All the time.
There's much more detail that we'll see. But if just because I'd like to talk about it, if I asked you, what's the connection between, again, the Rambam sat down to write a Sefer HaMitzvos, he did it thematically. Mm-hmm. Because the Yad HaChazaka, on which it's based, is thematically. You know, you have to put groupings together. So if I say to you, what's the connection between Egla Arufa and Ir Miklat?
From Egla Arufa, they might have discovered who the murder was. And now
yeah, but I don't think he's something so specific. I just think it's...
Kind of
it's related to... You know, intentional murders, accidental murders, the role of Beis Din, the role of government in, you know, stressing the importance of a single life and being involved in these things. You know, it's not the Wild West. Mm-hmm. We have a Beis Din, we have Shoftim, we have a government, and the government is responsible to take care of situations. I would say, even without reading anything, in both cases you could say, look, there's a body on the side of the road. We investigate, we don't know who did it, finished. Okay? There was an accidental murder. By the way, think about it in our terms, an accidental murder. Somebody hit somebody with a car. Okay, so you go, listen, it was an accidental murder, things will play out how they play out, we can't do anything about it. No, the answer is that, you know, in a halachic society, I think we care about everything. And we deal with things in a way, I think, that are not commonly dealt with. You know, we're so used to civil society, we're so used to the world we grew up in, that sometimes we're shocked by, seems counterintuitive or strange that there would be such a halacha, like a city that you go to hide out from the family. Look, you committed a murder, we should kill you. If you didn't commit a murder, you go free. So...
There's a difference even with murder. One is premeditated, one may proceed from a passionate act. I agree.
Not a passionate act, you're driving a car. Huh?
Car accidents are not allowed to go to jail. You've got to stay there.
Yes, but... Right, but then it doesn't mean you go to jail. Okay, let's read some psukim.
It also highlights how we're thinking of religious laws of the Rambam includes every aspect.
It's not just the Rambam, but yes, I agree with you. Now... let's be clear. There's more than one. We're not going to deal with it really, although we'll touch on it. It's always interesting when there's more than one parsha in the Torah that deals with the same topic. It makes it more complicated. There's more than one parsha of Ir Miklat, of the sanctuary city. But, you know, we have to pick the one we'll do. We'll do the one that the Rambam bases his halacha on.
Okay?
So here you have in Sefer Dvarim Perek Yutes, says the pasuk as follows. Says the Torah, Ki yachrit Hashem alokecha et hagoyim asher Hashem alokecha noten lecha et arzam. When God, you know, destroys or cuts off or the Gentiles who are living in your land, vi rishtam vi yashavta ba'arehem uvavatehem, and you disinherit them and you now live in their cities and in their lands and in their homes. Before anything, the introductory pasuk. Where does the halacha of Ir Miklat apply? Obviously, only in Israel. By the way, just like Egla Arufa of last week. Why? These are kind of institutional halachos. Right? It wouldn't make sense in Poland to set up an Ir Miklat. It wouldn't make sense in Poland to... Because it's not your land, and your land... You know, these are... I want to use the words... These are aspirational halachas. In a perfect world, this is how it works. You know, we care about every human body, and we set up ways to deal with these gray area halachos. Gray area halachos, of course, like every, you know, the term gray area, I suppose because it came between black and white.
Yeah.
Could have been blue area. But every gray area by definition, could go in either direction. They're always the hard, you know, gray area is a euphemism for, it's really hard to tell you exactly what the rule is. In every court system, it's a gray area. It means it could have been tax evasion, it could have been tax reduction.
Avoidance.
Yeah, no, whoa, okay.
Grey's Anatomy was because of the name of the person, not TV because
show,
that it's...
I think,
it's difficult.
Quick.
Are we sure that in the Babylonian...
Correct, right. Correct.
In Babylonian, where Jews had an autonomous region, are we sure they didn't have something like this?
Look, it could be that you establish such a thing because you think it would be a good idea. The answer is it's not a mitzvah satorah. Could be any clearer. It's only in the land of Israel. Now, what is the mitzvah? Pasuk bet. Shalosh arim tavdil lecha b'toch artzecha asher Hashem alokecha noten lecha lirishta. You have to establish three cities in the land that God gives you. Just to be clear, the way it works is as follows. If you know the psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu established three arei miklat. Now, where did he establish the arei miklat? He never came into the land of Israel. He did it in Eiver HaYarden. There were three in Eiver HaYarden on the other side of the Jordan. Then there were three in the land of Israel itself. And there's a pasuk that says, La'asid lavo, when our borders really expand, there'll be three more. Okay? Fine. So there were three in the land of Israel. Not only are there supposed to be three, but here's a fascinating pasuk, third line. Tachin lecha haderech. The mitzvah isn't just to have a sanctuary city, but tachin lecha haderech, you have to prepare the pathway to get there. Vishilashtart gevul artzecha asher yan chilcha. Even before, you know, look at Rashi below number two. Tachin lecha haderech, Rashi says, and this is how we paskin. Miklat miklat haya katuv al parshat derachim. It was a big
road signs,
that said this way to Ir Miklat. You know, it's 30 kilometers in this direction. People had to know where the nearest Ir Miklat was. And now why? Who needs an Ir Miklat?
Somebody's after him. Or maybe
It's a real emergency. When you need an Ir Miklat, it's an emergency. Because somebody's chasing you.
Well, it's presumably Lord Zom would actually try to kill you.
The din is you're supposed to have a sign. And not only the sign, but back inside in the third line of number one. Tachin lecha derech, you have to prepare the path. Meaning, there needs to be a road that goes to the Ir Miklat. It's not enough to just establish a city. Tachin lecha derech v'shilashtash et gvul artzecha asher yan chilcha Hashem alokecha. And you should separate into thirds the land that God gave you. V'haya lanus shama kol rotzeach. By the way, it says kol rotzeach. All murderers get a chance to run away there.
Yeah.
So first, back in number two, Rashi. V'shilashtot gvul artzecha. Rashi says, Shiyehe mitchilat ha-gevul ad ha-ir ha-rishona shal ir miklat. The distance from the first border of the land of Israel to the first ir miklat should be equidistant kishiyur mahalach shiyesh mimena ad ashniya, which should be equidistant v'chein mishniya lishlishit v'chein min hashlishit ad ha-gevul ha-sheni shal Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So basically, I can't do math, but if the land of Israel is 120 kilometers long, so you got 30, 30, 30, and then so it's 30 from the border to the first one, to the second, to the third one, to the last border.
It's 40,
yes.
40.
Go ahead. I mean to say, could kill him?
Huh?
Anytime? I mean, lawfully could kill him?
Without due process.
If he kills, let's say, his wife.
By accident.
Yeah.
If the husband kill him? Kill him according to this.
What happened? What's the case?
Let's say he kills the husband. Can the wife kill her? Yeah. Kill her?
Reuven kills the husband. Can the wife kill Reuven?
Okay, that's the wife. But the brother.
The brother.
Brother, okay.
So the answer is yes. The answer is. Okay. That until
can he go into the Miklat and kill him?
No, of course
no,
not.
No. But kill him without due process. He's right to hunt him down and kill him without the court. I mean,
we'll talk about it soon. In the initial stage, the answer is yes. Now, again, it's also clear that that's not what the Torah wants.
Right.
It's an interesting thing that the Torah acknowledges, you know, the desire for revenge on some level. but the Torah doesn't want it, which is the mitzvah that we're doing. Okay. Therefore, the Torah establishes an ir miklat. On the one hand, the Torah says the better question is the goel hadam, right, the brother of the dead guy, is he supposed to? Is he supposed to chase down the accidental murderer? Or if he can't control himself, the Torah says we're not going to punish you if you kill him. But let's acknowledge the truth. We don't really want you to do that. So the sense I get from the Psukim is we don't really want you to do that. Okay? We understand that there's real anger, and we understand that there's real culpability. And let me explain. It's not the case that... The question is, what is killing b'shogeg? So let's take an example. What is chilul Shabbos b'shogeg? Let's do it this way. A person who, you know, gets up in the middle of the night on Friday night and turns on the light.
Yeah.
And he knows it's Shabbos. He's mazed. Okay? A person who's at a kiddush on Shabbos afternoon and he's reaching for the challant and somebody smacks his hand out of the way, the last piece of challant, and it hits the light switch and it shuts the light. Okay? That's not shogeg. Mm-hmm. That's onus. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any chiyuv of tshuva for that, because
right.
He absolutely didn't do anything wrong. Uh-huh. What's shogeg? Person gets up in the middle of the night on Friday night to go to the bathroom. We all know it happens. And he forgot that it was Friday night. Turns the light on in the bathroom. So it's not mazed, but it's also not onus. So you have some culpability for doing that, and so you have some chiyuv of tshuva. Uh-huh. My understanding is that the case of Ritzicha B'shogeg involves some responsibility on your part. Now, I'm not saying it's like you were drunk when you're driving, because that seems obvious. Maybe you were texting when you drive. You did something wrong.
Yeah.
And listen, a person who texts understands that it's more dangerous. Okay, I'm not saying you're the most evil person in the world. But what I'm saying is, I think if we're going to talk about Ritzicha B'shogeg, there is some culpability on the part of the Rotzach B'shogeg, as opposed to, you know, the guy was cleaning the gutters on his roof, and he slipped and he fell on somebody. Yeah. My guess is you're not even a Rotzach B'shogeg in that case.
Well, the axe, Rashi is the game. Yeah.
That's the puzzle.
Because then, right, maybe you could have
okay,
checked.
Right, before, right, that's like, the puzzle. Okay. Okay.
Or is there no machloket over the borders? Because this now tells us the third, so we know.
No, we
the
know.
Northern what, and southern borders.
Correct. Now. We know what these borders are supposed to be. Now, back in the Psukim. Okay. Fourth line. So what happens? You're a Rotzach B'shogeg. Vized dvar ha-rotzach ha-shayonus shama v'chai. This is the rule with respect to an accidental murderer who runs to the ir miklat and can live. Ashe yaked reyu bivlidat. He killed his friend. Bivlidat will translate as without intention.
Premeditation.
Huh?
Premeditation.
Right. And here it says, Vuhulo sonelo mitmol shilshon. Yes. We're suspicious of somebody who hates his neighbor and accidentally kills him. We're immediately suspicious. We're not, you know. This is the case you just mentioned, right? You're chopping wood, right, as we all do from time to time in the woods. Two possible pshatim here. Either the axe part, the metal part of the axe, comes off and hits the guy. Other pshat, no, the splinter from the wood that you're chopping, you know, flies out. But either way, it's clearly not intentional. Although, it perhaps could be negligent. It's hard to know. Like if you saw somebody, they should stop chopping. Again, gray area. That's what I'm trying to say. There's some culpability here. Okay. So hu yanus el achad ha'arim ha'ela v'chai. So the accidental murderer immediately runs away to one of these sanctuary cities and he'll live. Why? Pen yirdof goel hadam acharei hayrotzeach. Because as Mr. Weiser said, because maybe the brother, when he finds out what happened, will be furious and will chase after him. Ki yecham levavo. Literally, his blood is boiling. Vihisigo ki yirbehadeach. And I'll catch him. Because it's a long way off. Vihiko nafesh, and he'll kill him. Velo ein mishpat maves. And it's not fair, because the accidental murderer is not a murderer. In fact, we need a better term for an accidental murderer, because murderer is a legal term. Accidental manslaughterer.
Well, manslaughter till the law is determined.
No, because he's negligent.
But
if he's negligent, it may be grounds for...
Huh?
An insane person, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, then the pasuk says, V'lo ein mishpat maves. This guy is not guilty of murderer. What? A murder? Ki lo sonehu lo mitmol shelsham. He had no reason to kill him. Al kain, says the Torah, says God. Al kain anochi mitzav v'cha lemor. Shalosh arim tavdilach. Therefore, I tell you, shalosh arim tavdilach. It's fascinating, right? It's a recognition of human weakness, in the sense that, you know, the guy. Yeah, I'll do it this way. We'll see this in a few minutes. There's a lot of reasons for why there is such a mitzvah, and we'll talk about them. One that will come up. I think it's the Rambam. It comes up in a few places. Is the following, and this is just a comment about human nature, and then we'll do the lumdus. The reason is as follows: imagine that there are two neighbors, okay, and one guy, you know, runs over the daughter, God forbid, of his neighbor by accident. But
this room is
one second, by accident.
Yeah.
But it's hard, you know, the family by accident, well, maybe he wasn't looked, he could have looked, right? Anytime there's an accident, you could have probably done something to avoid it. Imagine the pain involved in the family with the daughter who was killed. Every day they have to see the murderer of their daughter. Again, he's not really a murderer. But they have to see the person. They have to see him backing out of the driveway the way he did that day when he didn't look behind them when the little girl was picking up her doll and he ran her over. It's incredibly painful. Mm-hmm. And one of, you know, and sometimes we say in a world of black and white, so you say, what are you going to do? It wasn't murder. Maybe he could have been more careful, but she bent down to pick up her doll. Here the Torah is saying, no. I have a way to deal with it. It's true. It's not murder. On the other hand, he bears some culpability, and it's impossible to have a society in which the person every day has to see his neighbor who killed his daughter. It's true. He didn't do it on purpose. But, you know, you replay it in your mind. Masha Lamaha Davar Doma. True story. John Gotti. People are familiar with John Gotti?
Yes.
That was okay. I
remember the case.
John Gotti's son was run over. Okay, by accident. Almost everybody says, early in his days, before he was like a famous mafioso.
Right.
Okay, early in his days, his son was killed in an accident, and l'chol hadeos, it was a real accident.
Yes.
In another accident, the driver was found bound and gagged, you know, and shot like hundreds of times.
It was a suicide.
Yeah, it was a suicide.
That's
clearly. Okay.
That's right.
Now, you think to yourself,
yeah.
Certainly John Gotti strikes you as a ki yecham levavo, a guy with a temper, and a guy with the ability to express his temper, you know, to the nth degree. The Torah says, get out of town. Uh-huh. Don't live on the same block as John. They lived on the same block, I believe.
Next door, even.
Okay. Don't live on the same block as John Gotti, because even if John Gotti's trying to control his temper, one day he's just going to kill you.
But
if you go to an Eir Miklat, you'll be safe.
The other side to that is to say this is quite primitive, this system.
Yeah.
You're saying it's very advanced to think the humanitarian side of this.
Right.
The social side of this.
Right.
But today, courts definitely deal with whether my next-door neighbor's little girl ran into the road in front of my
it's
car,
different.
Or whether I was negligent.
Correct.
It's different.
The courts deal. Here, the Torah is saying, I don't want to even deal with it.
No, wrong.
This is how we deal with it.
Yes and no.
They'll go to
you see, the difference is between a civil society and a religious society. In a religious society, we say to ourselves, it happened for a reason. And you are responsible. And some, listen, let's acknowledge the following: a person's backing out of his driveway, and God forbid, you know, he runs over a child. That person gets up and says, you know, doesn't bother me at all. I know I had nothing to do with this. I know it wasn't. We don't respect that guy. If it's one of us, it's hard to overcome it. It's hard to get in a car again. You would feel as miserable as a human being could feel. And maybe, as we'll see in a second, maybe you want to go to Golos because it will help you.
And if you don't, if a kid ran right in front of your car and you had nowhere stopping,
I can't.
The courts deal with that. Here the Torah say, I don't want to deal with that.
Wrong. That's the exact opposite. Courts don't deal with it here. And the Torah says, here's how we're going to deal with
it. Of course, deal with it.
They say you're innocent. They say you're innocent.
I think it's somewhere in between. I think it's where the courts haven't had an opportunity to deal with it.
No, we didn't get there yet. Okay, we'll do that now. We'll do that now.
Just to point out that this room is created.
We'll do that now.
It's a side point.
No, the room here.
Okay.
It's called Midrash Sarit. And Sarit was on the way to Jerusalem, and a family friend and neighbor was on the way back. It was about 10 p.m. And one of them slipped over the median line just in a head-on accident, and this young girl, about 20, was killed. Yes, and the father went out to the ambulance. He was on call. He went out, and his daughter died on the ground. So they built this room in her memory.
Is that the one out here?
Yes.
In the My daughter was in that car, and she was in the back seat. Oh, my granddaughter, I should say. Yeah. The girl in the front seat.
Okay, you know, the people moved out of town ultimately because they didn't want to see constantly the family of the daughter that they had killed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I know a case that happened in Yeshiva 30 years ago where somebody was killed in a security accident, and there was an investigation by the army and everybody was clear from it, but the guy who was responsible, again, not responsible legally, he moved across the country. He sent himself into Gulf. I think the people we want to be are the people who say, yes, legally, I'm not responsible for what happened. But nevertheless.
Why is there a difference between Ones and Shogeg then?
Because for Ones, and maybe that's what people are saying here, there are things that happened that, you know, if you're completely passive, let's take the case that, you know, you are kidnapped, you are bound and gagged, and they drop you from the roof onto a little girl. It's just the greatest tzaddik in the world. It's hard to find your own sense of responsibility in that. Right? Mm-hmm. So we do leave open, and I should be clear, we do leave open the possibility that absolutely nothing you could have possibly done, and in that case, I think even the victims acknowledge it.
We still have to go to the club.
For sure, because you don't, until somebody determines. And fine, even though we're not getting anywhere, I'll just do the other rules beforehand. Here are the rules, okay? You're involved in any kind of process in which somebody gets dead, okay? Run to a near miklat. That's the first thing you do. That includes that the process in which the guy got dead was you put a gun to his head and you blew his brains out, okay? Doesn't matter. Every single case begins with you run to a near miklat. Now, Besdin brings you back for a trial. And in the trial, if you're found, you know, guilty of murder, now I assume, you know, in the worst case, where there are two Edim, and they tell you don't do it, and you know, run to a near miklat or not, I don't know. But, you know, those are the rules. Everybody goes to a near, one sec, everybody goes to a near miklat. Now, if you're, it's a little tricky here, because if you did it on purpose, so now you'll be convicted. But sometimes you did it on purpose and you can't be convicted for lack of evidence. Then, again, this isn't what I want to talk about. Then basically, you know, it's open season on you. You don't stay in the Ir Miklat, but the Goel Adam can kill you. Okay? Which your punishment then becomes, you have to sleep with a gun under your pillow your whole life.
You could kill
because
him. It's
let's not get too complicated. What's the other case? The other case is, it was an accident, right? It was vehicle, you know, you were driving a car, you couldn't have... So then there's a case, and Besdin says, no, you're a rotzeach b'shogeg. Besdin then escorts you back to Ir Miklat.
Where you have to stay.
Where you have to live till the Kohen Gadol dies.
Right.
And you basically live in Golos.
Yeah.
And it's, so long as you're in Ir Miklat, you know, you're untouchable. If you leave Ir Miklat, they could kill you. The Goel Adam could kill you. Did I cut you off? No? Good.
I question. The real murderer, he wants to be a Mikla.
Yeah?
Can the Goel Adam kill him? Go there and kill him?
An intentional murderer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. The Ir Miklat doesn't protect him. Because he's an intentional murderer. Yeah.
It doesn't say only the court can kill you then? It doesn't say it always acknowledges that the Goel Dam has the right to kill the murderer and not put it in the hands of the court.
Again, it's complicated, and we'll come to those details when we do. There's another mitzvah of Ir Miklat, which is now the time to try to make the points I want to make. Let's just do the Rambam, because that's what we do here. Okay? Rambam 182 Kuf Pei Beis says as follows in source 3. V'hamitzvah ha-kuf pei bet hishetzivanu lehavdil sheish arei miklat. Remember I told you, 3 in Israel proper, 3 in Eiver HaYarden. Mitchilat ha-givul ad ha-ir ha-rishona shel ir miklat. From the border till the first ir miklat, kishiur mahalach sheyesh mimena ad ha-shnia. What we saw already, they have to be equidistant. Oh, I'm reading the wrong place. I apologize. Wow. Could somebody correct me when I do that? He said, "Sivanu lahavdil sheish arei miklat kidei shiyihyu muchanot lemakei nefesh bishkaga." Okay, they have to be prepared and ready for an accidental murderer. And now the Rambam adds, "Visheyitukan haderech aleihem." And you have to prepare. You have to pave a road to the Ir Miklat. V'yayshiru ota. You have to flatten it out or straighten it out. V'lo ya'azvu ba ma sheyimne haboreach milarutz. You have to remove, you know, when bushes grow on it, you have to remove all that stuff. So it's a straight shot to the Ir Miklat. V'hu amaro yitale tachin lecha haderech v'shilashtat k'vulatzecha. That's the pasuk we saw already. Prepare the road and split the land into thirds. Ukvar itbaru mishpatei mitzvah zo b'sanhedrin u'makod u'shkalim v'sota. Ukvar zacharnu amaram arei miklat eino hagot ela ba'aretz. Okay, the din of Ir Miklat only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is pretty straightforward. What's the mitzvah? I ask you. We just read a mitzvah. What is it?
Create the cities and create the derech too.
To make sure it's
correct.
A clear,
establish arei miklat
and a clear path to get there.
Establish arei miklat. Excellent. Now, separately, in number 225, that would be Reish Chaf Beis, which, God willing, if we stay healthy and keep at this, we will get to, you know, this coming year. The Rambam has another mitzvah of Ir Miklat, which is for the person to go to the Ir Miklat, or for the Bezin to force the, you know, this had nothing to do, you know, our mitzvah has nothing to do with a guy or anything else. It's establishing cities of refuge. The other mitzvah is doing something with the cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So naturally, we ask this question often because it's useful, is, we did this last week also, how do you know when it's one mitzvah and when it's two mitzvah? Remember last week we talked about there's measuring to the closest city and there's the Bezdin coming out, and so we said they're all parts of one mitzvah. So why isn't, if I tell you now that the Rambam has two separate mitzvahs of Ir Miklat, right? Why isn't it the case that establishing the Ir Miklat is a prerequisite for the later, for what you really care about, which is when there's an accidental murderer, they run to the Ir Miklat. Now, you need an Ir Miklat. It's like, you know, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah. Well, somebody must have baked the matzahs for me to eat them. Mm-hmm. So, and the Rambam says this, we've mentioned this before. Remember, the Rambam at the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvot has 14 shorashim, 14 principles by which he determines whether a mitzvah counts as one mitzvah, a separate mitzvah, so it doesn't get counted at all. So look at this. In number 4, shoresh number 10, the Rambam says, Hashoresh ha'asiri she'ein ra'uy limnot ha'hakdamot. It is not proper to count the introductions asher heim l'tachlit achat min ha'tachliot, whose purpose is only to achieve the ultimate purpose. Right? The means don't become the mitzvah, only the ends become the mitzvah. Here's an example. Pa'amim yavo'u tzivuyim ba'torah. Sometimes the Torah will give a commandment, like, separate out arei miklat. But, ein otam hatzivuyim heim ha-mitzvah. But it doesn't make that the mitzvah. Aval heim hakdamot la'asiyat ha-mitzvah. They're just, you know, preparatory stages for the accomplishment of the actual mitzvah. Ki'ilu hu misaper eich ra'ui she'te'aseh ha'mitzvah ha'hi. It's as if the Torah were describing, here's how you do this mitzvah. Watch an example. Dimyon ze amru, for example. V'lakachta solet. The Torah says, take fine flour. So you might think, ooh, that's a pasuk in the Torah. Take fine flour is a mitzvah. Says Rambam, no. Ki hu eino ra'ui sheyimne likichat hasolet mitzvah. Va'asiyato lechem mitzvah. You don't have two separate mitzvot. One, take fine flour. Two, make challah. Aval hanimne amnam hu amaro v'natata al ha'shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. There is a mitzvah of putting lechem ha'panim on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah said, take fine flour and bake it. Says the Rambam, that doesn't make it a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the end product. Lechem ha'panim on the shulchan.
To get to the mitzvah, but it's not
the Torah says, make a menorah. Says the Rambam, that's not a mitzvah. That's part of the ultimate purpose of having a Beis HaMikdash in which it has all the kelim.
Okay.
So ask a number of people, wait, what's the mitzvah here? Isn't the mitzvah for the Rotzeach to run to the Ir Miklat to be saved, or for Beis Din to send him to the Ir Miklat for whatever the purpose is? That's the mitzvah. Now, the guy can't go to an Ir Miklat unless you've already established Arei Miklat. But isn't it obvious then that the Rambam should not have counted this mitzvah? Everybody see the question?
Unless there's a value to just the mere establishment.
Of course, you have to ask the question
and
to
could
get
have
to
been
the
in
answer.
In order to have a chilling effect on the population. Well, that
so whatever it is, whatever it is, obviously, you know, this is how you learn, right? It's not. I'm not doing this to say the Rambam is wrong. This is where we have to start.
Right.
The Rambam, obviously, it's his own rule. He's not violating his own rule. The answer is, it must be that there is independent value to Arei Miklat, separate and apart from what you do with them. We have to figure out what that is.
Okay?
So, the first thing I want to suggest, well, the first thing that everybody suggests, is that the role of Ir Miklat is twofold and perhaps more so. Okay? What would you suggest? I tell you, there are cities of refuge. What's the purpose of a city of refuge?
To protect the person until the courts can determine his legal status.
To save the accidental murderer. Okay, we want to save this guy's life, so we tell him go out there and hide.
Or protect the person who's running after him.
In a way, yeah. Right, because he's at risk too.
Because
yeah,
because he might be involved in...
They could kill him.
Yeah. Okay, that's one. Anybody see something else?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. What's another reason to go to an ear?
To rehabilitate them?
Kapara. Again, it's true, you're not a murderer, but there are things below murder for which you need kapara. You did it b'shogeg. So again, if you get up in the middle of the night... No, you don't. I'm not sure. I don't think that's true. If you get up in the middle of the night on Shabbos and you turn on the light, it's true you forgot it was Shabbos. But you should have remembered... In a perfect world, you would have remembered it was Shabbos, right? You know, Rabbi Riskin doesn't forget that it's Shabbos. So therefore, you need some kapara. It's true. You don't get killed for it. You don't get kares. You have to bring a chatas. So here too, you're responsible for the death. You're absolutely not a murderer, but you're responsible for the death. And therefore, going to Ir Miklat would be a way for you to get kapara.
I thought the onus will be established by the court later, and then you just leave. They say, you know what, this was onus.
Good.
But you had to run there because Roldan didn't know that.
Okay, excellent. Now look at number five. The Chinuch, you know, I could have tried to pull this from a bunch of different places, but the Chinuch just has it here in one paragraph. Says the Chinuch, V'lachein, number five.
Yeah.
L'chein, ra'ui l'mi sheharag afilu shogeg. Even a person who kills b'shogeg needs some kind of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Now this, I think, is the religious part. Mikevan shebaat takala gidola kazo al yado. Because I'll say it in an unemotional way, he is the instrument through which God found it right to achieve this sad result of the little girl dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He was involved in this thing. Now, since that happened through him, sheyitzaer aleha tsa'ar galut, he should feel the pain of exile. Sheshakul kimat kitsa'ar mita, which is on some small level like being killed, because you're sent away from home. Shenifrad ha'adam me'ohavav u'me'eretz moladito, he has to separate from his friends and his family. V'shochein kol yamavim zarim, he's sent to live with strangers. So first thing, this is what we'll call kapara, that ir miklat exists not to save the guy's life, but because the guy did something wrong. Because he did something wrong that's not punishable by a court system. So we exile him. And he feels the pain of exile, and he understands that he did something wrong. And again, I think that this is, you know, the gray area in which religious society functions and civil society finds it hard to function. Because you don't want the civil court to say, listen, if you were involved in this, it must mean that God found some, you know, something that you need to be, you know, to repent for. Courts aren't supposed to talk that way. Civil courts don't talk about God. They believe in accidents. Religious people have trouble with accidents because they believe that God is deeply involved in the world. And so a religious court says to you, you're right, you're not a murderer, we can't punish you in the normal sense, but we could tell you that you need to go away because you still need to do some repentance. And again, I will agree as follows. Even to call something gray area, this is a big range of a gray area. Let's say, and I'm making this up, it starts from, you know, you were drinking before you got in the car, and that's real. That's shogeg karov lemezid. And then there's you know, you didn't look in both rear view mirrors. And maybe that's shogeg karov la'ones. But even, you know, say a gray area just starts the conversation, because even that could cover a wide range of culpability. Mm-hmm. Okay? Wait, let's 1 second. So that's one. One is kapara. Second line, last word. Va'od.
Just a comment on that. Since you get to leave the day after the Kohen Gadol died, it sounds like kapara is the main point
here. You're distracting us. We'll come back to that. Va'od. Second, yesh tikun ha'olam b'mitzvah. There's a fixing of the world through this mitzvah. Why? Kemo shebi'era katuv sheyinatzel imze miyad goel hadam leval yahargenu alo chamas bekapav shehare shogeg haya. It's saving this guy's life. It's the exact opposite, right? In the first one, he needs kapara because he bears some culpability. In the second one, it's like, he didn't kill him. It was an accident. The last thing we want is for the accidental murderer to be killed. So therefore, the second benefit of the Ir Miklat, or the second purpose of the Ir Miklat, is to save the life of the accidental murderer. Consistent as both of these positions are, I think that they're, you know, I think it's the beauty of halacha and the beauty of religious society. In one approach, the guy needs to be punished, because he bears culpability. On the other hand, the guy's life needs to be spared, because he's not a murderer. And so the halacha finds a way to deal with both categories in the same way, right? In one perspective, Ir Miklat is, you know, you're the neighbor. Well, we'll finish and we'll come back. Okay. Then he throws in the third one, which I mentioned before. last full line. Va'od toelat bidavar. Livli yiru krove hamuke harotseach le'enehem tamid b'makom shenasta hara'ah. The John Gotti thing, right? You don't want to see your neighbor every day pulling out of his driveway when that was how he killed your daughter, God forbid. V'chol darkei Torah no'am, and all the ways of the Torah peaceful. So now, here's the best way I could describe it, and I think it's interesting. You're the family of the victim. There are two ways for you, the family of the victim, to look at Ir Miklat. One is, I can't believe I can't get to the guy. Right? There's a place where this guy is hiding from me. I'd like to kill him. I can't kill him. I hate Ir Miklat. The other way is, the guy's being punished. Irim Miklat is the greatest thing ever. I wasn't going to kill him. Okay, he ran, it was an accident. I wasn't going to kill him. On the other hand, he did something terrible. I don't want to see him every day. Thank God there's such a thing as an Irim Miklat, where this guy goes, and I never have to see him, and I never have to think about him, and in fact, he's being exiled. Yes?
You mentioned a few times culpability and kapara, but in fact, the word kapara is not used either by Rambam or by Sefer Achim.
No?
No, I don't believe so. They talk about tikkun olam.
One second.
It's better for society.
Prevents
a blood feud.
Okay, so he talked. One second. Thing. No, it's not fair. He, because he used culpability, just not, you didn't see it there.
Where?
He says, okay, he didn't do the word culpability because it's in English. But he said, Mikevan Shef, first line, Sheba'at Takala Gidola Kazo Al Yado.
Listen, let's take the extreme example where you had zero responsibility for an accident.
Okay.
Okay, the kid ran out right in front of you.
Okay.
Or right behind you.
Good. Good.
Zero responsibility.
Good.
I think what he's saying is, Takala Gidola is the same idea as Tikkun Olam.
No, it's because zero, but zero culpability means you don't go to Irim Miklat.
No, we don't prove it. Yeah, no, you do. The court has to decide that.
No, but I'm not talking about for the rest of your life. That's 5 minutes. You go to Irim Miklat, the court brings you back, and you're safe.
Shogeg too. Shogeg too is going to take you out.
No, no, you're both terribly wrong. I'm sorry to say. An ones doesn't go to Irim Miklat. When they tie you up, let me talk. When they... You're saying two different things. One is the process, one is the substance. I agree with you. If you're involved, that's what I said at the beginning. If you're involved in any murder, you run to Irim Miklat immediately. But then you get sprung.
If you're
an onus, or if you're a murderer.
Court determines that.
The punishment, huh?
Have you bought a source for that?
It's not fair. It's not fair. I can't put everything on the sheet. I got up early this morning. I prepared. Just take my word for it.
Just had a grandchild.
Is there a source?
Yes, there's a source.
That's a shug about onus. He leaves me from amazing my stay.
Who stays in
the shogig the horeg b'shogeg.
The shogig b'mezid stays. No. Shug might leave also.
The shogeg b'shogeg.
Negligence
for sure stays. I'm saying, again, let's say again.
The car, it's top of it with the brakes.
Okay.
They do not take care of it.
Okay, good.
That's negligence.
That's clear.
Good. Again.
What happens if you have zero responsibility?
Okay, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah. The
car is falling.
No,
anyway, if Chinuch says exactly what I said, he said. Okay? Sheyitza'er aleha tsa'ar galut. Why? Because you're culpable. That's why. Okay,
because
now.
Because the Takala came to the world because of you.
No, because you did it.
Because you reversed over a kid.
Yes.
Even though you didn't see her.
Correct. Correct.
So it's a universal damage to the world.
Okay.
What's interesting here is that the Chinuch doesn't say something which I would imagine it would say, that there's a societal value to preventing extrajudicial killings.
Yes. Right.
And he doesn't say that.
Right.
It's a...
Right,
and on a more global level, that is that's a very important.
Yeah, element. But here's the thing. Ask it a different way. Why doesn't the Torah just prohibit extrajudicial killings if they're so terrible?
Because it knows the passion.
No. See, that's one possibility. The other possibility is it's part of the system.
No.
The enforcement mechanism for Irim Miklat is John Gotti. It's the fact that somebody's going to kill you. Now, we're not going to tell the court, in a world without extrajudicial killings, it's interesting, who enforces the fact that I snuck out of Irim Miklat to go to the NBA Finals, because I'm a huge fan? Who's going to enforce that? You're going to say the court is going to kill a guy, we'll have guards, and if you leave, they'll shoot you.
No, they're leaving.
No!
It's the fear factor.
But where does the fear factor come from?
From the family.
So there's a value to permitting extrajudicial killings, even though I agree with you. I don't think the Torah wants it. But it's the enforcement mechanism for this whole system.
But it's also because we don't have any jails in this
country.
There are no jails.
Yes, there are.
In the Torah?
No, just in society.
Meaning,
there is... Okay, a two-minute detour. A two-minute detour.
Got it.
There's the way the Torah describes how courts work, and there's the way they actually work. Okay? In the Torah, on the one hand, people are getting killed every Monday and Thursday. Right? You know, you plant on Shabbos, you're dead.
Also.
You eat, what?
Tuesdays
and Tuesdays also. Everything is a chi of Misa. Right? You read through, you get killed for everything. In the real world, how often does it happen that two Edim stood over you and said, you know, if you, and according to one sheet, you have to say, you know, nevertheless, I intend, you know,
right.
Never happens. That's why they had kings, and that's why they had a place called Kippa, which is a jail, in which they could stick you and forget to feed you.
Oh.
If you were bad enough. There's a whole, you know, what you, the extrajudicial nature of the judiciary in halacha is very extra. But there's a big part of it. There's a Ran who says as follows. The Ran says, what kind of, you know, when you talk about punishment, in a society in which basically you could literally get away with murder, why? Because everybody watched me shoot my neighbor, but nobody gave me hasra. Mm-hmm. There's 100 people who saw it. I literally get away with murder. Mm-hmm. Says Duran, that's why you want a king. Because mm-hmm. the king fixes all of those cases. It's all, you know, it's either extrajudicial or it's part of the system. Kippa, you're absolutely right. I have no source, there's no pasuk in the Torah.
There are no jails.
Yes, there were.
Is that there?
I'm telling you that yes. There were.
Even
it's circumcision. All part of.
Freedom is an organized penal system. There was a kippa temporarily, but it was. It's not a whole system like we have in the world today.
You're in big trouble when Bruce is defending you. Okay, he makes me feel. You know, Bezdin found, let's put it this way, Bezdin found a way to punish people, those people who were deserving of punishment. And the whole, you know, it existed. It just, I agree with you, it wasn't part of the narrow halacha. I don't know, I bet I could find a few in the Rambam, I'm not 100% sure, I want to be careful.
Yeah.
But I certainly could not find you as definitive a source as you're looking for, but I'm telling you it existed. The Gemara talks about...
Even took into account circumstantial evidence?
I don't know. It's hard to know that.
There are no Gemara stories of this system actually functioning, so it might have been a very early thing that sort of fell by the wayside for some reason.
Okay, now, well, I'm not sure. Look, in a world in which halacha completely governs, and there's a king and there's a court system, there's much more flexibility. You know, to achieve the result that you think is necessary to be achieved. When those, you know, we didn't live that long in our history in this idyllic state where you had David HaMelech or Shlomo and a shofar, you know, it just didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so there may not have been times that this was, you know, so successful. Now, point to be made, both of these two things, idea of saving his life and punishing him, you could have each without the other. You know, what I've said is, Ir Miklat exists for two purposes: to give kapara, to punish the guy, the rotzeach b'shogeg, and to save his life. Both, each can exist without the other. Tzibra Yehuda Omer, b'tchila echad shogeg ve'echad meizid makdimin la'arei miklat. That's what we've said so far. Everybody goes to Ir Miklat immediately after the death. U'bezdin sholchin u'mavin oto misham. Then Bezdin brings him under their protection to court. Okay, if they convict you, you're dead. Patruhu. And if they couldn't convict you, so you're patur. Mishenitchayev galut machzirin oto limikomo sheneemar veheshivu oto ha'eda el ir miklato. So here, let's see.
The Shogeg case.
Right, no, it's a classic case, but how do you have one without the other? Here, I suppose they're sending you back for the punishment. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, because what happens here is, here they're saving your life. Okay? You're Rotzeach Shogeg, so they're sending you back under their protection so you don't get killed. But look at the next case. Harag ba'otaha'ir. Let's say you're already in Ir Miklat. This is bad. And now you run over somebody else. Now, they can't kill you, because you're already in Ir Miklat. So says the Gemara, Golem Mishchuna Lishchuna. They still make you move. Now, this is clearly not to save your life because you're in Miklat, Miklat already. It's to punish you. Okay? So you see, there is. Oh, the case I wanted to bring, I just put the wrong one on the sheet. Just it's funny. So here, okay, you're in Ir Miklat, you run over somebody else. So there is no saving you. Why would they make you move from this corner of the Ir Miklat to that corner of the Ir Miklat? It's a punishment. Because you need to repent for the second one. What about in a case where the victim is a ger? Okay? He has no relatives. So there's nobody who could kill you. Why would you have to go to why'd you have to go to Ir Miklat? The answer is the Gemara forces you, the halacha forces you to go to Ir Miklat because for a kapara. Now, I don't know how to answer the question you're about to ask me. Well, then, when you sneak out of Ir Miklat, who's going
to
kill you?
I thought it was a choice to run, that you didn't actually have to run to an Ir Miklat.
No. Now, let's look at the Rambam for a second, and then we'll try to tie these two things together. Says the Rambam in number 8. V'chayavim, here you'll see here, Bezdin's responsibility to save your life. V'chayavim beitin l'chavein hadrachim la'arei miklat u'letakein otam u'laharchivan. Right, this we saw in the Sefer Mitzvahs. Bezdin's responsibility is to make a highway and to widen it. U'misiri mehen kol michshol, you get rid of all the potholes. V'chol takala v'ein menichin baderech lo tel v'lo gai v'lo nahar. You get rid of the bushes, you get rid of the rocks, it's the smoothest, you know, it's kfish sheish on the day it opened. Okay? And if there's a river, El Osin, Alav Gesher, you have to make a bridge over it. Kidei shelo la'akevet et haboreach, in order to, so that the murderer who's fleeing won't get stuck. Shenemar tachin l'cha derech. V'rochab derech arei miklat ein pachot mishloshim u'shtayim amot. That's really wide. 32 amot, it could be, you know, like 90 feet. No, more than that.
16 meters.
Huh? Okay, that's real. Right. That's really, really wide.
And there's like a ridiculous aspect of that.
Right.
You kill someone on a bike accident, you're going to bike, they're going to come miklat, by posse, by
miklat
truck.
Miklat hayak katuv al parshat rachim, kidei sheyakiru haratzchanim v'yifnu l'sham. And there needs to be a big sign, you know, Jerusalem this way, Tel Aviv that way, Ir Miklat this way, you know, so that nobody gets lost. Halachavav.
Bechamisha,
Bruce, let me finish. Bechamisha asar be'adar, bechol shana, on the 15th of Adar every year, beitin motziin shluchim letaken hadrachim.
Wow.
This is all in the Mishnayos in Megillah. They talk about, you know, Rosh Hashanah for different things and things that you do. So this is the 15th of Adar. Bezdin goes out to fix the roads. V'chol makom shematzu shenit katkel mitakni motel. Wherever you find that you know the road was damaged, you have to fix it. Ubeitin shenit rashlu bidavar zeh. Okay, it's an exaggeration, but a Bezdin, it doesn't take its responsibility seriously to fix the road. They are responsible, presumably, for the death of the accidental murderer who never made it to the Ir Miklat and was killed. Okay, now let's make the obvious point. We started with the question of why the Rambam has two separate mitzvos of Ir Miklat, when the Rambam makes clear that the general rule is we want to minimize the number of mitzvot, and something that's a precondition for something else is, you know, is part of the main mitzvah and does not get counted separately. The answer is there are two different dinim in Ir Miklat, two different purposes for Ir Miklat, and therefore two different mitzvot. One is the din of the Ir Miklat as the makom kapara, and one is the din of an Ir Miklat as the place that saves the life of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. Mm-hmm. So when you have the din of fixing the roads, when the Rambam says you have to make an Ir Miklat and fix the roads and do all these things, that's what? That's Ir Miklat for the purpose of saving the life of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. But when you have the other din that we'll come to eventually, which is what? Which is a din of getting the of sending the rotzach b'shogeg to the ir miklat. That's the form of punishment for the rotzach. That's a completely different din. Again, one is I need to establish an ir miklat and I need to fix all the roads to the ir miklat. Why? Because this is an ir miklat that saves lives. That's one mitzvah in the Rambam. That's the mitzvah we're doing now. That's the establishment of the ir miklat. Then there's a separate mitzvah, which is Beis Din has to send the rotzeach b'shogeg to the ir miklat so that he'll get kapara, so that he can do tshuva. That's a completely different mitzvah. That's Beis Din operating, I would say, in its normal capacity. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, Beis Din's operating in a capacity of somebody needs to take responsibility for saving the life of the rotzeach b'shogeg. Now, but let me just show you why I think this is true, and then we can discuss. And this is the greatness. I never would have come to this, but this is the when you do Rambams in order, and you see why the Rambam grouped certain things together, you start to get ideas. Okay. So here's the easy part. Look at number 9. Okay. Look at the second paragraph in number 9, because there it's more obvious. We'll do these at some point. Okay. Mitzvah 224, Reish Chaf Dalet, Lehalkot HaRisha'im, to give makos, right, to give lashes to people for certain things, because it says V'hipilu HaShofet V'hikahu, that the Shofet punishes him. Mitzvah Reish Chaf Hei, next one, 225, Lehaglot Rotzeach Bishgaga, to exile the accidental murderer. Shene'emar v'yashav sham ad mota kohen agadol. That's the punishment. Like giving makos is a punishment, sending him to shogeg is a punishment. Like the next mitzvah, reish chavav, v'lihiyot beit din hargim b'sayif. Beis Din kills with whatever. Sword. Right? Like the mitzvah, I didn't bring all of them, like the mitzvah after that. Beis Din kills with sreifa, like the mitzvah after that. Beis Din kills with chenek. It's clear that the Rambam put the second, and when you see it here, it's so beautiful because it's like it's the convergence of like lamdus and philosophy, right? We never would have come to this idea except for the fact that the Rambam counts them as two separate mitzvahs. By counting them as two separate mitzvahs, it allows you to see them in two different contexts. So here, the Rambam placed the mitzvah of Beis Din, the mitzvah of sending the rotzach b'shogeg to galus, to the ir miklat, in the role of a Beis Din in carrying out punishments. But our case is in the first paragraph. Mitzvah Kuf Pei Aleph 181, what we did last week. La'arof et ha'egla k'mitzvata. To kill the egla arufa. 182. To establish arei miklat. 183. La'teit le'levi'im arim la'shet. To give cities for the levi'im to live in. 184, to make a ma'akeh, to make guardrails around. Here, it's Beis Din acting in a way that fixes society. It's not Beis Din punishing. We think of Beis Din as being, you know, the place that carries out punishments. Here you see a string of mitzvot that the Rambam grouped together that are necessary for society to function. We talked last week about the importance of you find a dead body. It's important to have a procedure, to have some kind of ceremony, to get witnesses to come forward. Someone needs to do that. That's the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. Somebody needs to establish cities of refuge so that accidental murderers can run away to them. That's this week's mitzvah. Somebody needs to give the Levim places to live. Again, this has nothing to do with saving lives. That's next week's mitzvah. You need to, you know, if there's a flat area that somebody could fall off and die, you need to put up a guardrail. There are two different roles, two different things that need to get done. And the mitzvah of this week, it's a mitzvah of Beis Din, but it's much more of a societal mitzvah, or I would say an infrastructure mitzvah. To have the proper Torah society, you need to have a place where people run away to. You need to have some entity that gives respect for abandoned dead bodies on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. You need people to build guardrails so that people don't fall into their swimming pools. There's just a whole range of infrastructure, dinim, that are part of Tarag Mitzvahs that are counted. So, just to sum up, because it's late. Okay? There are two purposes to an ir miklat. One is punishment. One is saving the life of the accidental murderer. These are seen in two separate mitzvahs in the Rambam and in two different approaches or two different groupings of, you know, of mitzvahs that are covered by the Torah. The more interesting and more controversial conversation about whether the Torah wants the Gol Adam to kill and extrajudicial killings, all of that, and jails and all these things, all that came up in our conversation, but we're out of time. Shkach.
I think if John Gotti did the killing, he'd be running through the Ir Miklat.
I'm not answering your question.
And the guy who's not worried about anyone coming after him, or his daughter wasn't killed, just very badly injured, would he require that every guy go to let the court decide the facts of the case? Because he might come to kill you anyway, even though you didn't kill his kid, but you badly wounded him. So does all these people go to the Ir Miklat?
Yeah.
I mean, is it only a death case?
You go to Corleone.
So is it only for death or very serious injury?
It's only for death. The serious injury you have to pay for. It's only for death.
Okay.
You know.
Did Ir Miklats, how they function?
There's very little stories about them.
Did they function? How full? You'll see. When we do R.A. Levine next week, this will come up. There's a reason they're next to each other, because R.A. Levine had served as a dual function.
Mm-hmm. And when you make a wide road, you can escape by bike, but now the family's come after you with a whole convoy of trucks, because they got a road to get you.
Okay.
Tomorrow, you have a